May it please the court, there are two issues that I would like to discuss. First is whether the initiative of the Milwaukee Police Department was an official policy. I think the standards set forth in Pembauer versus the City of Cincinnati, which is not mentioned by the district judge in his opinion, but is the law. I believe that standard results in the finding, that it should have resulted in the finding that it was the official policy of the
military. Well, what was the official policy?
The official policy was to summarily, before the initiative, the official policy with the municipal violation was that a police officer gave you a ticket. After the initiative, which was considered by the city attorney and all the officials up and down the department of the police department, the official policy was to summarily arrest persons.
But is that an unconstitutional policy?
To summarily arrest for a municipal violation and jail? Yes, I believe it is.
Well, why? What's the unconstitutionality of it? I mean, I understand your false arrest claim, but I don't understand your argument that this it's unconstitutional to arrest people for ticket scalping if it's, you know, if it's a crime.
It's not a crime. It's a municipal ordinance violation. You put your finger right on it. It's a municipal ordinance violation. You don't
say the maximum permissible ordinance is a fine and no jail time.
Right. So it's on its face unconstitutional. I mean, if Atwater had considered, if that Texas community had ordered their policemen to summarily arrest all women that were riding without their seat belts, I think the decision of the United States Supreme Court would have come out differently than it did. That's the first, to quote from Pembauer, it says that even a single decision, a municipality is liable for acts which the municipality has officially sanctioned or ordered. And that's what happened here. After the initiative, they ordered the policemen to arrest, summarily arrest, handcuff, take to the squad cars all suspected violators and then take them to jail and process them. So there was no discretion by the police officers. And there are a number of reasons that I believe
Is your position generally then that in any situation where there's no jail time as part of the penalty, there can never be an arrest, booking, and being...
There are exigent circumstances, which I think occurred in Atwater, where a disturbance is created, and perhaps under the circumstances there has to be an arrest and a jailing. And a processing. But the second issue is that the evidence was clear that the Bradley Center had agreed with and cooperated with and participated with the Milwaukee Police Department in developing the initiative, in processing the prisoners, if you will. There was a representative of the Bradley Center right there. The squads were parked on Bradley Center property, and as the defendants were processed, they were instructed by Mr. Harrell of the Bradley Center about if they return to this property, they're going to be issued citations for, I forget exactly what the phraseology was, but an additional citation.
Trespass.
And then they, right, trespass. And then they had them sign a document that was prepared by the Bradley Center. So I believe that under the doctrines established in Hampton, that there was an agreement between the Bradley Center and the Milwaukee Police Department. And it resulted in the false arrest of Mr. Arlotta.
What happened to these unnamed police officers?
What happened to them?
Yeah.
I've sued them.
What's happened to the case against them?
Pending before Judge Stabmuller.
Why is this a final decision?
Well, that because he dismissed without prejudice against them.
So there's nothing pending against them.
There's nothing pending against him in this case.
You have another case?
Yes.
Okay, so they're just, you have to have a final judgment here, coming at all, and I was concerned about, because it was an unusual case because he claimed he wasn't ticket scalping. They just arrested the wrong guy. That's your claim, isn't it?
Yes.
You have a claim against the individual police officers.
Right.
Why wouldn't that have to be a part of this claim?
You
I mean, that seems like it's spreading the...
That's the way he entered the final judgment.
He dismissed against the two police officers because they
hadn't... He dismissed against John Rowe...
John Doe and Richard.
The unnamed.
Yes, without a
prejudice. This is unusual, it seemed to me, because you know who the arresting officers were.
Yes.
Why didn't you sue them? Or name them?
It was an oversight.
But there is a separate lawsuit now in... Federal court in Milwaukee.
The statute of limitations
had not run.
So there's a separate lawsuit against naming the police officers that actually arrested your client.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Sutton. Ms. Lappin?
Good morning. May it please the court. I will be addressing that issue relating to the municipal liability. Mr. Borowski will be addressing the conspiracy-related issue. With reference to the procedural standing of the cases, in this particular action, the unnamed police officers were never properly named. When we went to summary judgment, I had moved to have them dismissed, and in the court's decision, Judge Stottmuller determined that the plaintiff or appellant would have an opportunity to explain to the court why the proper officers, the named officers, were not substituted for John Doe and James Rowe. However, that was not done within the time set by the judge, and the judge then rendered its final order and decision for judgment and dismissed those claims involving the probable cause to arrest without prejudice. At this juncture, another action has been initiated against two officers, Officer Chin, who was the person who made the identification, and Officer Ricky, who was the uniformed officer who actually arrested, physically arrested Mr. Arlotta. Officer Rigi is still employed by the City of Milwaukee Police Department. He was served. We have a motion to dismiss the case against him, as he was not the person who made the probable cause determination. He physically arrested Mr. Arlotta based upon the statement from his fellow officer that the fellow officer saw Mr. Arlotta selling the tickets. So we have a motion pending to dismiss Officer Rigi. Officer Chin is currently serving our country in Iraq in the armed services, and so therefore he has not been personally served. Our office has not been requested to represent him, and we have yet to hear any response from Judge Stottmuller regarding the status of that case. My motion to dismiss Officer Rigi is still pending.
Okay, so then that takes care of all the procedural problems. What about the Sutton's argument that the city, it was the city's policy to make a change in course here and vigorously enforce this ordinance, which is uniformly ignored generally?
Well, with regard to Mr. Sutton's statement that the city, prior to this initiative, the city always just simply gave a person a ticket when they had a municipal forfeiture violation, is not in the record and it's inaccurate. With reference to this particular situation, meaning the situation involving the Bradley Center, this was a case where during that particular season especially, the Bucks were doing very, very well. Getting tickets to Bucks games was a very popular thing. It was becoming more lucrative for the tickets.
Certainly a moot problem now.
That's correct, unfortunately. But in any event, the stakes were getting raised, and there was more serious threats being levied against the Bradley Center employees when they tried to handle the situation themselves. Milwaukee Police Department, upon receiving this request for help from the Bradley Center, did some initial surveillance work, did some initial background work. They found that when the ticket sellers were given the municipal citation, they'd simply come back and sell within 15 minutes. It was not resolving the problem. It was not taking care of this issue for the Bradley Center. So that information, in conjunction with other information gleaned over years of policing this type of violation led the people who put together the initiative plan to determine that there would be a summary arrest. This way, the ticket scalpers or ticket sellers would be physically removed from the premise. They wouldn't have to worry about them coming back, further harassing the fans, further harassing the Bradley Center representatives.
Now, Mr. Sutton said, that surprised me. I hadn't noticed it in his brief, but he said that that this policy violated the municipal ordinance, that there's no authority for detaining these people?
I'm not sure where that came from. I think Atwater has
it's
made
not
it
in
clear.
Is it not in his brief? Did he say it for the first time? Or?
Well, I think in the summary judgment proceedings it was brought
no,
up.
No, in a brief in this court.
My reading of the briefing before this court was focusing more on the length of detention and arguing that that particular aspect of the arrest procedure was unlawful and it was reflecting an unlawful policy on behalf of the Milwaukee Police Department. With reference to what was stated here in court, it's not quite fitting in with what
so you
created.
Think he thinks that so your conception of his argument was it's an unconstitutional policy because it's more than 2 hours or whatever it is.
Well, not even that portion of the procedure which took place in the city jail. My reading of the briefing was that for the first time on appeal, he was raising the issue, arguing that the length of time that the people were kept in the paddy wagon was itself an unconstitutional policy, and separating that portion of the whole procedure out from the entirety of the arrest and detention procedure.
What is your view for the arrest and then subsequent in custody time for ordinances that carry no jail time?
I believe that with reference to the information that was presented to the district court, we amply gave reasoning as to why these detentions were reasonable. Mr. Arlotta's detention was shortly or somewhat over 4 hours, not quite 5 hours long. There were some individuals that were involved with the companion case where there was many plaintiffs, as we showed in our information, where the length of detention sometimes was 6 to 8 hours, depending upon the personnel on hand, time of day, time of week, amount of people an individual officer was responsible for processing, the status of the wanted checks, and so on and so forth. So we have given the court, we think, adequate information consistent with the case law, which says once you reach that 4 hour point, police department, you need to tell the court or tell us why it was reasonable for this person to be maintained in custody for longer than that point. And we believe we have adequately presented the court with that information. This was a busy time. These were usually weekend games, downtown area, many people arrested, and it just simply took that long to process these individuals through the city jail. Mr. Arlotta himself was processed in the larger picture in a very short period of time. Again, he was released under 5 hours from the point he was taken into custody to the point of being released from the police administration building. And consistent with Atwater, to take someone into custody relative to this type of violation is constitutional. There is nothing unconstitutional about the policy of the Milwaukee Police Department in responding to this situation, this call for help from the Bradley Center representatives given their problem.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Lapham. Mr. Borowski.
May it please the court. My name is Dan Borowski, and I represent the Bradley Center in this matter. The Bradley Center is here today to ask this court to affirm its decisions, upholding the right of individuals to call the police for help without fear of being the subject.
Well, why does the Bradley Center care about scalping? I don't understand.
The Bradley Center is the factual record that was developed. The Bradley Center, again, referring back to the 2000-2001 season, the bucks were hot and ticket scalping became a problem.
Well, what is the problem?
The problem was initially the number of ticket scalpers increased significantly. And with that increase, the conduct of those scalpers became much more aggressive. They would harass, for example, if patrons were getting in line to buy tickets from the Bradley Center ticket window, the scalpers would approach those people and say, buy tickets from me. The people would say, no thanks. The scalpers were becoming more aggressive. They were harassing these patrons, and the patrons called the Bradley Center and said, what can you do? Bradley Center responded by, at first, sending out more security to try to keep the ticket sellers away from the ticket windows. And those employees who were sent out and security guards were being threatened, physically threatened, by the ticket sellers to the point that the Bradley Center couldn't even maintain some of these part-time employees. They just simply quit because they were in fear of physical harm. So the Bradley Center was left with what it believed was the only option, that was to call the police and request increased enforcement of the ticket-selling ordinance.
You could do what the Cubs do and set up your own firm and scalp the tickets yourself.
Well, there's ticket-selling agencies around the area, but this is quite a problem for them. And the Bradley Center, I think, did what any reasonable business owner would do under the circumstances, and that was they called the police. And I think this court, in decisions such as Moore, Gromados, and Kelly, has made it clear that a party has the right to call the police without the fear of being the subject of a claim for conspiracy to deprive someone of their constitutional rights.
What's your definition of scalping?
In this case, it was defined by the two municipal ordinances. The one that was in particular in this case was the sale, legal sale of tickets within 500 feet of the Bradley Center. I believe it's 2 hours leading up.
I understand that, but isn't there a difference between, to me, scalping is you've got a $50 ticket to an event that you're selling for $500 because it's a hot ticket, as opposed to somebody has four tickets for the game and two people cancel out, so you come down there and you want to just unload the two tickets for face value or less. Is that scalping?
I think the municipal ordinance makes any attempt to sell a ticket within 500 feet.
I think it does, but why is that?
I think the reason is,
I should have a constitutional right to sell my ticket I paid for what I paid for or less.
Well, I think initially the ticket itself is, in a sense, a license to attend the game. The Milwaukee Bucks have the tickets, and in terms of selling the tickets, I think the problem that the ordinance attempts to address is that you walk up to a person and ask them if they're going to sell tickets, of course they're going to say, I was trying to sell it for less. I think the problem is that you want to have to make that distinction. It's the illegal sale of tickets and to try to get the conduct away from the Bradley Center. And so I don't think you want to have to distinguish between a person who says they were going to sell them for under face value as opposed to someone who's going to sell them for over face value. So I think that's the distinction there. And with respect to returning to Mr. Sutton's argument here today, I think the essence of his argument against the Bradley Center is because we cooperated with the police in this initiative that we should be the subject of, or that we in the end contributed to his so-called false arrest. And I don't think the record supports that at all. It is true the Bradley Center cooperated with the police in their initiative. The police needed to be on the Bradley Center premises to enforce the ordinance. But there is no evidence that the Bradley Center in any way participated in identifying Mr. Arlotta as a potential ticket seller, in making a decision to arrest him, or in making a decision to detain him in this case. And that was consistent throughout this entire initiative. The Bradley Center did not involve themselves in the initiative. Mr. Sutton also referred to meetings between the Bradley Center personnel and the police before the initiative began. What I'd point the court to with respect to that is there was never a discussion or an agreement to do anything unlawful to any of these ticket sellers. The police proposed an initiative to the Bradley Center under which all offenders were going to be arrested, and I believe that was a constitutional policy and was one that was handled by the police and properly by the police. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Borowski. Mr. Sutton, how much time does he have?
I just have one matter. There's a statement in the judge's decision, and it was mentioned by Judge Evans, that Mr. Arlotta was the only person that was arrested during the initiative who was not actually scalping tickets. There's really nothing in the record to support that. At one time, there was a lawsuit by a number of the other persons that were arrested, some of whom were actually selling tickets, but I think some of them were not selling tickets either. And I don't know what happened to those cases. I guess they did not appeal when they were granted summary judgment.
What does scalping mean to you?
Scalping means to me that you're selling a ticket for more than its face value. And that's what it traditionally was when we were young men or children. And they've now transferred it into this. Any selling of a ticket, even at face value or less than face value, is scalping. I had a personal encounter at the Brewers game once when I was trying to buy a ticket from a guy to see a Cardinal game, and he was just going to sell me the ticket for the face value. And the cop came up and said, if you buy that ticket, you're both going to be arrested. I said, what? But I didn't want to be arrested, so I didn't do it. But that's the way then in Milwaukee, that's what they say. The face, any, if you try to sell a ticket, you're scalping.
We'll avoid Milwaukee in the future.
I agree with you.
Okay, well, thank you very much, too.